Welcome back, everybody, to The Arrow. My name's Chandler.
My name's Tony.
And today, Tony, what are we going to be doing?
Today, we're going to be talking about turtles.
All right, so I like the green ones. I like the ones with like the little like orange things by their eyes.
I like turtles.
I like turtles. Well, actually, before we get to what we're going to be talking about, we want to just remind you all to go drop us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at The Arrowpod. Social media. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a necessary thing.
Please do so now, right now.
There's never any downsides to being on social media. Be on social media all day as long as you're looking at ours, right? Like
it's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, just come connect with us. Let us know what you're thinking about the podcast. Let us know what you think about the show, the books, the comics, whatever. We always like to hear from people. So
some recent hard news to digest.
Oh yeah, do we want to address that really quick?
Yeah, I think we can brush over it. By the time it's like a couple of days after everybody's
it's
processed.
We found out about that on Friday, right?
I believe so, or Thursday.
Yeah it's like Thursday or Friday.
Friday.
It's been like 3 to 4 days since we found out the news.
Yeah.
Wait, today's. Yeah, it's like been like 3 to 4 days since we found out the news. So like, for some of you who might not know, Mike and Brian, the creators of Avatar: The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, have decided that they are going to step away from the project at Netflix and to kind of let some other people take over from there. Sounds like from the letters that they had wrote and the posts that they had made and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that they were trying really hard to make sure that their creative vision was going to be what was realized on screen. But throughout the production process, it just seemed like it was going to be increasingly difficult, if not impossible, for them to actually be able to put their story and put their vision on the screen. And so instead of fighting an uphill battle, they just decided that for their own kind of sanity, they were just going to step away from it.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate to hear because, like they mentioned in their posts, they went into this with the knowledge that Netflix would, you know, take into consideration everything that they had to say about the direction, the vision that they had for this series, and to try to keep it true to the source material and do it justice. So that's, I mean, absolutely exciting news because they did help with the movie that does not exist. They're essentially from a lot of interviews that they went in, that they had, they pretty much were pushed to the side and didn't really have any say in what was happening. And it just seems like the same thing was happening now. And a lot of people had speculations on like why that might be so, because, I mean, time restraints, the pandemic kind of putting things aside and money having to be made and being spent, and maybe starting to possibly cut corners on things. And I mean, unfortunately that is the reality, of a lot of shows and movies and things are being made right now. It's extremely difficult. And I mean, I think that's what they were trying to do because it was supposed to come out this year, and you know, unfortunately it's not, and it seemed like everybody was okay with that because it was like, hey, take your time, make it good,
right?
But they, you know, they need to come out with a product like eventually, and to kind of keep pushing it to give them time to be its best might not be in their best interest, at least Netflix is best interest,
right? And I think that and so I don't want to say that this show can't be good anymore. You know, I don't want to say that. I don't think that that's necessarily true. And you and I, and Marilyn, actually, she came on the show and talked about it with us. Like,
yeah,
we expected things to change. We expected some things to not be able to fit in the live action format. We expected some changes to the story, some changes to some character arcs that we were really excited to see because we wanted to see, like, it's not necessarily where the story goes or like what the but like the meaning behind the character, and that was always going to be something that was going to be true and genuine regardless of what twists and turns Mike and Brian may have had in mind for things to change. Because at the end of the day, I don't think anybody wanted to see a carbon copy. Oh, maybe some people really wanted to see a carbon copy product, but like, I really don't think people wanted to see a carbon copy product. I think that they wanted to see this fantasy realized in the real
world. Yeah, definitely. Like, that story being able to be evolved, explained more, mm-hmm. things cutting out, of course, because you can't have everything, but having yeah, it's a sense of a new adventure in a story that's so similar.
Yeah.
To our hearts. So, of course, I don't think most people at least wanted, like, a carbon copy, but they mm-hmm. truly wanted something that represented, like, our hopes and dreams in how we see these series and the kind of the emotions that it brings up and the topics that it talks about, because yeah. for its time it was going through a lot of different things that, you know, most other shows weren't even like considering to try to expand on, and I think mm-hmm. that's what it's so amazing about it. So to be able to do that in a bigger way, and also like to reflect, you know, current events would have been amazing. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's still, you know, still a possibility.
Yeah. I don't want to say that whoever, because it sounds like Brian had brought in a team that's going to be taking over from mm-hmm. here. From my understanding, or maybe he had brought in a team earlier on and they're just going to be the ones who are in charge of it from now on. Mm-hmm. Is that
I'm not sure. I'm yeah. not sure.
Regardless, I don't think it's over. I think that there can be definitely a good product here, but it is like a little bit of a blow to the fans.
Yeah.
Because the biggest trust that we had in this was the fact that they were going to be a part of it. So,
yeah. But yeah, if you guys want to know more about that, a little more in depth, Beyond Bending podcast did a collab episode with Legend of Portal. And they just came out with that a couple days ago, mm-hmm. Went over about the news, their thoughts, a little bit more information, their kind of theories on things. So, mm-hmm. If you want more information on, go check it out, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is, I guess, part one of our two part video, our two part news podcast for the day, I guess. It's almost like a news podcast. It's not really a news podcast, but, what we're actually here to talk about today, actually, Tony, it was your idea, and I'm like, yes. Yeah, that sounds dope. We're going to be talking about, as you all know, another thing happened with Netflix very recently. Mm-hmm. I think last Thursday or last Friday.
Friday.
Almost, I think it was the same day.
No, I think the news was Thursday then, because
Korra came out
Friday.
Okay. Well, Korra is now on Netflix. Legend of Korra, the show that we have been talking about for almost the last year, if not the last year,
yeah.
Is on Netflix, which, just like The Last Airbender, is going to get, not the movie, the TV show, just like Avatar The Last Airbender, is going to get a lot of traction, I think.
Yes.
Especially yeah, hopefully. Since, I
mean, as of right now, it's still number two on the top 10 list.
Yeah. So, like, especially since so many people watched The Last Airbender and really, really loved it, and mm-hmm. we're like, oh, this is like a part two. I think that it's going to be really good. And at the same time, there's been some people out there who are trying to maybe steer some people away from watching the show.
Yeah,
is a nice way I can say. Everybody knows how I feel about these people, really, very much. So, like, yeah, but yeah, why don't you take it away, Tony?
Yeah, so, I mean, we spoke about it a little bit a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. briefly, where apparently there was some Korra hate going around, and personally, like, we spoke about it, and we're like, we don't really see too much of it, but as the weeks went on, like, I kind of started seeing more and more, mm-hmm. And even, like, the different groups that I became a part of, they always had people kind of mentioning, like, oh yeah, I watched the first couple episodes and I got so bored that I never continued watching it, or I hated it, so even though people say the last two seasons are good, like, I couldn't get through the first two. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people that criticize it or didn't even give it a real chance, mm-hmm. but are, like, so in love with Avatar that they're willing to join these groups and talk about topics, but not Korra.
Right. Which I wanna put a very big, like, cover on this whole thing, which is, we're not here to tell you that you can't dislike the show. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like, everyone's entitled to their own opinion of Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra. And that's fine. I don't mind people going onto a group and saying, this show never really sat well with me. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like it. It wasn't really my thing. I think another thing is to go and say, this show is absolute crap. Only true mm-hmm. fans like the original show. No one should watch this new one. I think that that's going into some territory that I don't really yeah. like, obviously.
Yeah, for me, definitely. But like what I was mentioning, it's more of just giving something a chance.
Yeah.
And to be like, oh, I watched the first couple episodes and it was trash. I couldn't get through it. But give it a chance. Like for us, we started season two with a disclaimer of like, we didn't enjoy it. That this was yeah. kind of a salty period for us. Mm-hmm. And we weren't necessarily going to enjoy as much as, you know, going of other seasons. Season two of Korra, and like we have our own biases, we have our own opinions about things, and we're not mm-hmm. super admirable like about every single episode and saying it's how amazing it is. Mm-hmm. But I think there is true potential for it, even in the episodes that we didn't like. Mm-hmm. And then going into Korra's story, I believe there's so much more you can learn, and it gets so much better that I like the payoff is so worth it to continue through something that's like not amazing, which is mm-hmm. still a good series. I'm not saying it's bad. It's the first two seasons, and then yeah. going into something that like is a huge payoff, in my opinion, at least.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that probably some of what we're going to talk about today is going to probably sound a little bit like, and we're gonna probably hit some points that are similar and some points that are different than but we had Raz on the show like not mm-hmm. too long ago. He has this video that I think you all should go watch called The Legend of Korra, A Beautiful Mess, and it's such a great commentary on the mm-hmm. show in terms of like the things that it does really, really well and the things that it doesn't really do well. And we all always will tell you what we don't think the show is doing well. And I think the beauty of this show, too, is that, like, we don't always agree on what the show is doing well and what the show is doing not well.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we can disagree about whether or not, like, having to open your shoes to do the seismic sense is cool or not. Like, it's
which
not.
Which is cool. No, it is cool. It is.
But
I'm going to post that tomorrow.
Huh?
I'm going to post that tomorrow. Do you think this is cool? Yes or no?
Oh, gosh. But anyways, like, it... Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I think what we want to do today is talk about just a Legend of Korra appreciation episode, just overall, and talk about why we think that you all should, if you haven't yet, or if you have like a friend or a family member who's thinking about watching it and is like, I don't know, I've heard some bad things, or I'm not sure if I really want to watch that, like maybe show them this podcast mm-hmm. and show them this episode, and maybe it'll help convince them. Also, why don't you guys just share the podcast with like a friend or two? You know, we wouldn't mind having some more people in the Arrow Nation.
Yeah, of course.
So.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I think last episode I mentioned it, I was like, oh, it's so amazing, like the second coming of like Avatar and like people starting mm-hmm. their own podcasts as well. I didn't realize how many people are starting podcasts.
Oh, dude. Oh yes, it is. It is definitely
yeah, there's like
a landscape.
Yeah, like I saw like, oh my, like I call some of the original ones, which is Bending Not Breaking and mm-hmm. like Legend Portalcast and all of us like that we Beyond Bending and everything.
That like the Avatar State podcast.
That like has stopped since or like mm-hmm. stopped a couple of years ago. So I'm like, oh, okay, you know, there's a couple of us. There's a few more that have kind of come up in the last couple months. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, cool. And then it wasn't until I think like 2-3 days ago that Steph showed me. I was like, oh, there's like another like 6 or 7 that just started up. I was like, oh,
dude,
my God.
Be our own pot. We could be our own category at this point.
Like, yeah, yeah, we could be.
Straight up, yeah.
We didn't change our name.
To what?
To something Avatar.
The new, call it Aang's Arrow.
Yeah, because it is a little bit harder to find us specifically because yeah. we don't have Avatar in our title.
Yeah, I know, but once people see our logo, they're
hooked. Oh, yeah, the logo always helps.
Nicole, you're the homie.
Thank you
Anyways.
So much. Oh, yeah, so Korra.
Yeah, let's get into Korra.
Appreciation, why she's awesome, why you should watch this.
Yeah. Why don't you go first, Tony?
Of course.
I think I have, like, in my head, I have, like, 3 reasons overall why mm-hmm. I feel like people should watch Korra. that's kind of how I'm formatting my kind of talking points around this. I don't know about you.
I'm just going off the top of my head. That's cool. Definitely. Something that really inspired me to do this was a post that I saw from @avatarstate_yipyip, which was like a pretty cool appreciation post and something that like kind of just hit a few highlights of what Koro has been able to accomplish. So spoilers ahead for season 4, something that we haven't gone into, and for anybody that hasn't seen the series. But Korra, she becomes one of the first metal benders that we know that actually ever avatar, like first metal bending avatar. So that's such an amazing feat that it's just like, she's adding to the arsenal of what avatars can do. And like, we had the whole conversation with Raz about if Aang ever had the ability, and it seemed like he didn't, because they mentioned in the series that she was the first metal bender. And then she was the only known person to be able to get out of Amon's blood grip.
They mentioned
that. So like, just her outstanding abilities kind of continue to add on as the series goes on. As she picked up healing, so that was another ability that she had. She defeated Unalaq without Rava, and using the Avatar State and kind of just using her own spiritual powers to, you know, do the giant Korra. Again, only known Avatar to learn the ability of spirit bending. Big spoiler, survived Zaheer's attack with the poison that should have killed her at that point. And she was able to bend the spirit beam at the end of the series, which was a power like similar to a nuclear bomb. So there's all these abilities that she's being able to add to the Avatar mantle that can be passed on, and now these are abilities that she that people know about, or that she's built upon. And I think like any Avatar going down has like so many more things that they have a possibility of doing or being a master in themselves, that how many people have revolutionized like any abilities or anything. Like, the only thing I can think about is seeing previous Avatars lava bend. I mean, that's a specific ability, or even like Seismic Sense with Aang. But other than that, like, I think we kind of just go within the same ability. So for her specifically being able to add on to these abilities and become such a powerful Avatar in something that we know that she truly enjoys is amazing to see her grow. And then I also think there's a huge growth within the entire series of, we're kind of seeing her be like this naive, hot-headed kind of kid when we first see her, and not really understanding how the world works, but having some explanation for that as well, as we find out that she found out herself and her family that she was an Avatar when she was just, what, 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old, and isolated until she was 16. So it's just like, that's kind of expected for her to not really know how the world works, or how to communicate, or how to do things properly in a city, or even if it's just capturing thugs or anything like that. So being able to see that growth in her maturity, in kind of almost being like a pouty person, not getting my way, not really explaining herself in certain situations where it felt like it would be very useful to do so and get things done, into this mature Avatar that's even able to give advice to Tenzin, and him being able to respect that.
She, like, the amount of growth that she takes over the season is, or over the series is just incredible. And I think that, for me, that kind of plays into one of my points, which is, I think that the character, right? The character is like one of the biggest reasons why you should watch this show. Korra, I'm going to say it, Korra is not outright as likable as a character as Aang. And that is because she is a more realistic character than Aang. We all actually have insecurities, and you are bound to find yours in her.
Yeah.
right? I think that you're bound to find the things that you're insecure about in the things that she does. People will say she's annoying, she's dumb, she does these things that are wrong. And it's like, yeah, but you probably would too, right? Like, I think that really, like, put yourself in the situation, like, you probably would do the same things, especially given the fact of how she grew up and everything like that. The other, the really great thing about Korra's storyline is that, dude, you know, I'm realizing we never finished Avatar Madness, but it's okay. Zuko was going to win anyways. He knocked Aang out round one. There's no way he's not going to win. He may have beat, it might have been him versus Iroh, but, like, I still think Zuko would have won. It's really common knowledge that Zuko is probably the most beloved character from the original series. And I think that he's the most beloved character because of his story arc. The great thing about Korra's story arc is that it's very, very similar to Zuko's while also being so unique, right? I think it's very unique, but they go through such similar struggles. And I think that the only story arc that even, like, really compares to Zuko, because Zuko's story arc is so far ahead, better than everybody's, in my opinion. And not that everyone else's is bad, but his is just so good.
Yeah.
The only one that even comes close, if not matches it, is Korra's. I don't think that there's any other character in the entire series who has as good of a story arc.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even, like, in the series alone, we haven't even gone through some of the things that she has to deal with physical injuries, with almost dying, with them kind of going into the whole realm of PTSD, which is something, like, I want to do a whole episode on, like, on itself, on how they handle that. So, like, as we progress through this series, there's so much more that that she has to endure, that she has to go through to still become her final form as we see her in this series. So, like, I truly enjoy that growth that we see, because even with Aang, like you mentioned, he was such a lovable character to begin with. And even though he does mature, he does grow, it's not like at a rate that we see, like, Zuko or Korra kind of change. So to really put it in perspective, when you really take a step back and you're able to see where she started and where she's going and then where she ends up at the very end, it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, the ability for her to be able to be a person who stands on her own two feet and calls herself a person at the end of everything that she goes through is just absolutely astounding. And I think that it's incredibly inspiring. Even so, like, my girlfriend Charisse, she fell off of Korra way back when it was airing during season two, because she didn't like season two. She didn't watch the next two seasons. You know, she started watching again because we were doing this podcast. And she's like, well, I regret not watching this on air. Like, it's so good. And so now Charisse, to her friends who have, like, her friends were always, like, the same. They're like, yeah, I stopped watching after season two. It wasn't that good. Charisse has now been saying, you have to keep going. You have to keep going. And so I think that's just a testament to how good the show is, because anyone who sees season three will say, you have to keep going.
Yeah. And a big point for me for watching this Korra is the villains. I feel like the villains are so unique in who they are, but it almost seems like you can side with them. A big point we had with at least Unalaq,
we always get them all mixed up. It was
Unavatu Unalaq, yeah. Unavatu Unalaq, yeah. Was like he did seem like he was like evil for evil sense, like in it just it didn't sit well with us. But even him, he had kind of a bigger picture in, you know, bringing back the spirits and bringing you know, peace to the world and opening up the spirits, the spirit portals and everything. And with Amon, there was, you know, equality for all. So, and with Zaheer, it's believing in true freedom. So with every villain that we go through, like, you can almost side with them in their beliefs. So it's just like their execution in what, in how to get what they want isn't, you know, the best.
Yeah.
That's what makes it villainous. But their beliefs and what they are seeking for isn't necessarily wrong. Isn't like, even when Korra had her conversation with Zaheer, it was just like, in the spirit world, you're like, well, he has a point. Like he brings up the queen, he brings up the president, and you know the kind of interaction she's had with them. So you start to kind of understand that, like, okay, like you're not, you know, you're not completely wrong.
Right. Yeah. I've said this in the podcast so many times, but I think to me it's just the best, because everybody loved Black Panther, and their favorite part of Black Panther was Killmonger, and everybody was talking about like, wow, like he was such a good villain because I could really get behind what he was saying, and at the same time I didn't want to see him do what he was doing, but on the other hand, like, it made a lot of sense, and it's like, that's literally every single season of Korra. Like, to me every single villain feels as good as Killmonger. Maybe not Unalaq, but
in we'll let him pass.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked at length about that, and so when you do go back and watch the show, which I hope you do, watch along with us and hear what we're saying, and I think that you'll find that even us, two guys who decided to make a podcast for 3 years about this show, about this series, and who probably aren't stopping anytime soon, like, who love the show so much, have valid criticisms about it, but you can see what we love about it and why we love it. And even throughout season two, like, we had a disclaimer episode. Like, we're not going to really enjoy this as much. We talked about what we weren't enjoying. And then, you know what else? We were still giving episodes, like, sixes and sevens. Yeah. You know, like, it's not, you know, just because season two is so much worse than everything else doesn't mean it's bad by a whole stretch of the imagination. You know what I mean? And I think the villains are such a good piece of, and I think one thing that all the villains do, regardless of if they're Unalaq or if they're anybody else, is just the performances that they all give are just electric, which is my number two reason why I think people should watch Korra, is that the voice cast and the performances are top notch. You don't get someone like J.K. Simmons to stay on a show for 4 seasons without the show being kind of fire. You know what I mean? Like, if any of you guys have seen, what are the things that he's been in? I know he was in Whiplash. Everybody loves Whiplash as a movie. Some of the other things that he's been in, I'm blanking, dude. Come on, help me out.
That other movie.
I'm looking it up right now. Just because I think that it's a really fair and solid point that, like, J.K. Simmons, whose name I'm clicking on right now, he's J. Jonah Jameson in freaking the Spider-Man movies, you know? He's like, all I have to say is that now everybody knows who I'm talking about. Like, he's in this show. Zelda Williams is in this show. And then even the people who aren't, like Dante Bosco reprises his voice into this show, you know? So, for me, the amount of just talent that is in this show is just so good and so unmatched to the level of, like, other American animated shows at the time, and even maybe still to this day for the most part, that, like, it's worth watching just because they in and of themselves make it so entertaining.
Yeah.
I think that, like, that is something that's really important for me. Because I think that I want to hit points where it's, like, people from all ends of the spectrum who want to watch the show. You know, if you're going to watch it for the story, if you're going to watch it for the production value, if you're going to watch it for whatever, like, I want to make sure that you know that you'll be taken care of here. But yeah, so those performances, especially, I think a standout here in terms of a more well-known person, a standout for me is Zelda Williams, her role as Kuvira. We don't even know. Her name whenever we meet her for the first time in, like, little snippets throughout season three. But every time she comes on, it's like, wow, like, that voice sounds important. And, like, there's so much emphasis on her characters, you know, like, she just commands the screen. And then when we get into season four, when she becomes a very important character, like, every time she's on screen, it's just like, oh my goodness. Like, please continue to talk. Like, it's just, like, so good. And then I think that going back to, like, maybe some of the, not, I won't say, like, lesser known people, but the people who aren't, you know, their names aren't immediately as recognizable. I'm thinking of Seychelle Gabriel, the voice of Asami Sato. Asami's vocal performance is just incredible. Asami herself is just an incredible character who deserves a lot more screen time than she gets in this show. And then also Aubrey Plaza also gets to be in this show for a little while and is just incredible in this show as well. So, and then Jeanette Varney, who plays Cora. I just can't not point out the main character's voice actor when I'm talking about who has the most who has the most lines in the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think all of them, plus everybody else, Dee Bradley Baker comes back as the animals and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's just really, really, it's a really great auditory experience. Plus the music is,
The music. Oh my God.
If you liked Avatar music from Avatar The Last Airbender, you'll like this stuff too. It's, yes. it's just as good, if not better.
Yes. I remember when we first started watching this again, I was like, oh my God, I've completely forgotten the music.
Yeah.
I love it.
That auditory experience. And then I guess like my third point is something that we've touched on a little bit here and there. But it's something that I saw, and I wish I could credit the post that I saw it on. It was on Twitter, and I didn't retweet it because I was like in a hurry to do something else at the time. But I was like, it was as I was closing my phone to go do something else. But I saw someone say like, this is a friendly reminder that Avatar The Last Airbender and like The Legend of Korra is not just Avatar The Last Airbender 2.0.
Yeah.
It's its own show with its own pacing, its own triumphs and its own problems. That deserves to be treated as an individual product as opposed to a spin-off of the original. And I stand behind that 100%. This show
I think that's what people have such a difficult time with, is the comparisons. Is really doing like a one-for-one comparison with between both series and saying like, well, Avatar did this, or Aang specifically was able to do this. And it's just like, it's not a carbon copy. It's not the same thing. It's not, it's like you said, it's not like a 2.0 version, like a continuation. It is its own series, and it should be valued and seen in its own right, because when you see it through that lens, you can appreciate it so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it this way. Right, like in the sometime between like the 50s and the 70s, I don't know, like social American history, but like we had all the adults who were like, who grew up on like jazz and stuff, were telling their kids to stop listening to like rock and roll, right? Like, but, and so that's like something that happens over a generation, but this happened over like the course of 3 years, right? Like we all grew up with Avatar The Last Airbender, and we didn't have formal governments. We had like these feudal societies. They didn't have technology. They didn't have all of these things. All of a sudden, they have all of these things, and people are like, that makes the show dumb. It's like, no. I think that makes the show great because it shows you that they're living in an actual evolving world. Like, things don't stay the same. It's not interesting for things to stay the same, at least to me. Storytelling-wise, if you like Avatar The Last Airbender so much, go watch it again. It's great. It's fantastic, you know? I want you to watch that show again, but if you're looking at Korra, I don't think you can walk into it and expect the exact same product. And I've said it so many times here, The Legend of Korra has lower lows than Avatar The Last Airbender, but I think it absolutely has higher highs. And to me, those highs are so worth watching this show, because the story that you get is not of this impending doom that's going to come in a year, but it's the story of this girl who finds herself and goes on her own journey to become a person over the course of like 4 years. And I think that another thing for me was that the show came out, I was not much older than Korra was when the show came out, and I think I was around the same age as her when the show ended. And I felt like I was going through a lot of those similar things in my life, this early adulthood that I think a lot of us can really connect to, is really the biggest theme in that show.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I mean, change is inevitable. I mean, it happens in all of us. And I think that period of time between like 17, 18 into your early 20s is a huge transitional period. And it can be extremely confusing, of like who you are and who you want to be. And for Korra, I mean, we're going to get into it, but she's already experienced of, like, who am I? I am the Avatar. And when she had her bending taken away, it was a devastating like event for her, because it's like my identity has been taken from me. Like, so mm-hmm. what am I now? Mm-hmm. And then spoilers again, going at the end of the series, she goes, I mean, at the end of this season, she's physically disabled. And now she has to again realize, like, what can I do? What can I do? Or like, and my physical feats of strength have been taken away from me once again, and not knowing if this is going to be how I am for the rest of my life, or if I can come back. And again, having to realize is like, what does that make me? Mm-hmm. And for her, it's just like, we've always understand that that the physical strength of bending is what she's defined the Avatar to be. Mm-hmm. Even though she has matured, like that being taken away, it's just like, am I even the Avatar anymore? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I did relate to that so much when I was growing up, because it's just like I was transitioning and into like, you know, adulthood and being like, who am I? Like, yeah. What am I supposed to do now? Like, yeah. I'm not just this kid anymore, and I'm supposed to find a path. And it feels like other people have it figured out, but I'm kind of just standing around trying to hope that something happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through something when I was, like mid college, towards the second half of college. Mm-hmm. I've been playing music since I was 10 years old. I'm like 26. So I've been playing music for 16 years. Mm-hmm. At the time I was around 21, maybe. About the age that Cora ended the show at.
Yeah.
And I had already changed my major in college from music to psychology to become a therapist. And at the same time, like, I had never done anything else, really. Like, I at 10 I picked up a trumpet, and that's like the only activity I was ever really a part of. I did marching band throughout high school. I went to school for music. I joined a band. We used to play shows, we gigged and stuff like that. And so then I changed to psychology, and I was like, well, I'm still in the band, you know, like I've still got the band here. And so when I wasn't able to, because I was being spread a little too thin between my major, when I was a music major, it was like I felt like everything was related, but yeah. When everything wasn't and I was being spread a little thinner, I knew that I had to probably step away from the band. And then I had a talk with one of the guys in the band, and I didn't get kicked out, but it was really like if I had not already had, you know, thought about, you know, I think I do need to step away from the band for the good of the band and also for myself, I probably would have gotten kicked out. Mm-hmm. But then here I am all of a sudden finally not involved in anything musical for the first time in my life. And I had a complete panic attack. I had a complete breakdown. And I had no idea. I'm like, who am I mm-hmm. without this, right? Like, and it sounds so simple, but when at the time, the last 11 years of your life have been predicated on you doing one thing, mm-hmm. When you see yourself as this one thing and then no longer can you identify with that, it's painful. And that's something that Cora goes through time and time again throughout the series that makes it so visceral and so real. And I think a lot of us have gone through that moment of, I'm not who I thought I was. Or I can't be who I thought I was. So who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is just so important and why people should watch the show.
Yeah. Definitely. I think that's very valuable. We get valuable information from a cartoon series. Like,
yeah.
As many times as we said, like, we have different opinions of Avatar The Last Airbender as we have matured, and we can pull more information from it and feelings from it. Like, we can do the exact same thing with Legend of Korra. There's life lessons to be learned. Mm-hmm. And as you mature and as we rewatch, there's different things that we notice, different things that we mm-hmm. pick up or even relate to.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, Tony, this is the one that I go back to more often, to be honest, mm-hmm. Over Avatar. I think I go back to Legend of Korra a little bit more often, just because it's a little bit more varied. There's a little bit more surprises around the corner, and I think to me it's a little bit more relatable.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, I don't think I have to do too much else other convincing here, but
no, I mean those are our thoughts. Again, if you don't agree with them, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
You have your right to your own opinions. And for me, this episode's really just about giving it a chance if you haven't in the past. Mm-hmm. If you personally haven't watched it, or if you have someone that hasn't, make them listen to this and try to. And that's kind of just what I wanted to do, is try to give people a reason to watch, or at least give it a chance.
Yeah. And if someone says, wait, I don't want to listen to it, what if I watch it and there's spoilers in here? Then then that's an obligation for them to watch it, because they can either do one thing. They can listen to this podcast with all the spoilers and say, okay, well, let me see if I want to watch it based off of what they say. Or if they say, well, I don't want to listen to spoilers, that means they have to watch it now. That's is essentially what's going to happen there. There's no reason to be afraid of spoilers if you're not going to watch the show. Yeah,
but I mean, like, all the information we said is just, like, so, like, sprinkled across the entire series. Like, you might forget, you most likely will forget things that we say, because we didn't talk about much in detail.
Yeah, if you listen to this and there were spoilers, don't listen to it again. Just go watch the show. By the time you get to season four, you won't remember half of the things that we said about this. So, you might have, like, one thing in your head, but, or it might be triggered once you get to the moment, but by that time, you're already surprised, so... Yeah. All right, Tony. Thanks a lot for talking with us with me.
Yeah, of course.
We'll be back on our regularly scheduled content next week. We are going to enter the void next week. So for all of y'all who are contemplating watching the show, next week is my favorite episode of Korra, probably like ever. I think this is like number one for me.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're about to finish season three.
Well, there's two episodes left, so.
I know, that's why we're about to finish.
We're so close, so. I'm just super stoked on it. So anyways, I'm actually already watching season four now. So Charisse couldn't get enough of it. She's like, we need to watch season four. I'm like, okay, we're going to watch season four. So anyways, thanks everybody for listening. Once again, my name's Chandler.
My name's Tony.
And as always, we will catch you all next time. Bye.
Bye.